Tonight's teaching is, or the sharing is, tracking our the adversary, kind of seeing footprints and seeing some things that I've never seen before. And if anything, one of the objectives with the sharing is to encourage people to read through the church epistles and and look at this word that I've never seen before. Another thing about with me, I've been reading about 10 chapters a day, and at first that was laborious, but man, it gives you, it's so advantageous, because now all of a sudden you get two or three books of the church epistles, and I just read this. Or you could be in Luke, and I just read this in two of the Gospels, and all of a sudden you get a reference point. And so there's the it's life transforming. But with this, Dad did a teaching not too long ago, and it was about our adversary, the adversary who took Yahweh's name and erased his Creator's name, and then he puts up his own three gods. Now you got to bow down to this, because you're not bowing down to Yahweh with these three gods. You're bowing down to his creation. And if you bow down to his creation, who are you bowing down to? It's like Al Gore telling us what we have to do to stop global warming. What you're doing is you're bowing down to Al Gore, because he's the prophet, and this is what it is. And so the adversary is more crafty than any beast, tracking him, the Apostle Paul lost 43% of the churches he set up departed. Three out of seven. All the churches in Asia, you got, here's Asia, Colossians, Galatians, and Ephesians, all of them departed. They rejected Paul, so who do they reject?
Yahweh.
They rejected Yahweh, and they rejected Christ, because Christ was running things. So who did they really reject? They rejected Christ. Who rejected Christ? The church that says that they were glorifying him. Now, it doesn't mean that they became anti-Christ, but they threw him out. But 43% of the church, and here's the Apostle Paul, he finishes the race well, that when you're pressed, what comes out? If you squeeze an orange, I want to do a teaching on it. If you squeeze an orange, what comes out?
Juice.
When you squeeze a Christian, what comes out? It's up to us. And a lot of times, the flesh comes out. Drop something on your foot. You might have a word in your repertoire you didn't even know you had. And go, oh. But when we're crushed, what happens? And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, 43% of the church have rejected me, but I've run my race. And I have run my race. He's delivered me from the lion. I never thought that as literal until my father brought that up. And he's going to preserve me. And the end of 2 Timothy says, how did the Apostle Paul die? Happily ever after. It says he's going to be delivered from everything. He's the shepherd's fold. And here this thing is. That's not what man teaches today. But he was pressed. But what happened to Paul? Before I get to that, looking at the adversary, who started the Shabbat, the Sabbath?
Yahweh
did. And he told Moses, remember the Shabbat. So it was before Moshe, Moses, remember the Sabbath. On the 6th day he rested. Okay, who created the Sabbath? Yahweh Elohim. For what purpose was it? It was to glorify him. How serious was the Sabbath? Moses had a guy stoned once. Okay, so it was serious. But by the time Christ came along, who was the Sabbath serving?
Man.
They looked at him intently to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. And they looked at him. Let's see if he's going to do this. And he looks and he says, is it allowable to do good or evil? They didn't say anything, and he heals a person. And I always thought that was the conclusion. No, the conclusion is right after that, they go, we got him. We got him. He healed them, even though they're going to say, we got him. The religious people were using the Sabbath to do what? To persecute Yahweh. Because Jesus Christ was Yahweh. Not literally, it was his son. Jesus Christ says, you want to see the Father? You see me? I'm the exact replication of my Father. You see what I do? I do nothing. I can do nothing without my Father. Here this is. And what were they using the Sabbath to do? To persecute Christ, which was to persecute Yahweh. And who was doing all this? The adversary. And you're looking, going to go, man, by the time Christ is around, what was the key? the Shabbat. Holy moly! That's how you'd expect a man, a capitalist, or a drunkard, and when you read through the church epistles, I guess to the point, what we're going to look at is the adversary used the Sabbath to persecute Christ, and it appears that the adversary used circumcision to persecute Paul. So we're just going to take a look at the circumcision through these church epistles. You start seeing some things, you're going to go, I never saw the power of the weight and the fear circumcision had until recently. And that the adversary used the Shabbat Sabbath to persecute Christ. Apostle Paul comes along, now he's going to use circumcision. Now today he uses the Trinity. If you don't bow down to this, you're out. And people will cower because they don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be thrown out. And it's so powerful, we're going to look there, that even Peter bowed down. And that's one thing. He didn't say he did it over and over again. And he repented. But even Peter, who cut off Malchus's ear, what kind of power was circumcision? And so we're just going to kind of take a look at this and go, wow, you start looking, and what happens if you don't get circumcised, and what was the threat being, and I'm going to suggest that maybe how the adversary took over 43% of the church was started through possibly the circumcision. Now obviously there's fornication, you get the lust of the flesh, those are obvious things. But how do you get regular people, and here it is, we'll turn to Acts chapter 16, 2. Verse 2 and 3. Now this first one is not apples to apples. Okay, so I'm going to put a disclaimer there. But it is going to, this first scripture is going to show power of the pressure for circumcision. Now Yahweh started circumcision. He told Moses that, or actually told Abraham, if you don't get circumcised, you don't cut it off, you're cut out. You're out. You're cut off. So there it was. But I love how Christ says, I am Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man, and I'm going to go, where does it say he got that authority? I wonder if on his 40-day wilderness that Christ says, here's a couple things I'm going to let you do. I'm going to let you not violate, you're going to go over the Sabbath. I'm giving you jurisdiction. Yes. And there's a couple other things. They go, by what authority could you do this? And it didn't say Christ got this, but I wonder on the 40 days, Yahweh goes, here's a badge. Over the Sabbath, you can do this. Here's another badge, because you look what Christ is doing on the Sabbath. You can't do that! You can't, you break it! But it appears Christ did. Because why? I'm going to suggest because the Sabbath was being used to persecute Yahweh at the time. But if somebody read Acts chapter 16, verse 2 and 3, and now this is not apples to apples. I'm not comparing this to the persecution that's going to happen later. But it does show pressure.
16 what? Who was well attested by the brethren in Lystra and Iconium, the same would Paul have gone forth with him and took and circumcised him on account of the Jews who were in those places. For they, one and all, knew that his father was a Greek.
On account of who? The Jews.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to compare this to the church epistles because the book of Acts is a transition period. There's a lot of confusion. Moses, Exodus was a transition period too because Moses comes back with all kinds of new rules. What are you talking about? Pork, catfish? What are you talking about? Passover? And so there's a transition. So there could have been a time when some of the Hebrews are going, you're going to have to verify some of this. So the book of Acts, they're learning circumcision. Is there circumcision? There's not. But it does say in the scripture, on account of who? The Jews. He circumcised them because of the Jews. Now I'll turn to Colossians chapter 2.
That was Timothy.
Yes.
Okay, we can read that.
Thank you. But it is interesting. I'm not going to compare this to the pressure in Timothy. But you're looking at that pressure that it appears it was allowable, that Yahweh allowed it to say, okay, under this circumstance, you can go ahead and do that. But here's Timothy, who later on, the Apostle Paul goes, don't be a coward, man. Don't be a coward. Don't cave. Chapter 2, let me get there. We're reading 8 through 13. I'll read this so I'll make sure I get all this. And if you look at the circumcision here, just put the word Trinity. Mm-hmm. if you don't do this, if you say anything about this word, don't talk about the Trinity. Or they'll say today, the deity of Christ. We should say, what scriptures are you talking about? You can't compare Trinity to circumcision because Trinity is not in the Bible. True. But right now, it is being used by the adversary as such a thing. You better not say it. We will come against you. We will shut you down. And we will make an example out of you. We'll turn you into a Jehovah Witness. You lose your church. You get all the rest of this. And it makes me also think when he refers to the circumcision, when he refers to the circumcision, put the seminary. The seminary. Because who's persecuting the Apostle Paul? The seminary. Mm-hmm. We're going to go chapter 8. Or chapter 2, verse 8. Be taking heed, lest there shall be anyone leading you off as spoil through means of their philosophy. They're three in one, but they're not three gods. They're one God, but they're in three persons. They're perfect. And Jesus, and today, all there is Jesus. Jesus, you're all there is. All I need is Jesus, and Jesus is the Father. You go, how can the Son be the Father? The Catholics won't say that now, but Protestants, it's just Jesus is now this new Jesus, warned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, a new Jesus, a new Holy Spirit, has been exalted above the Father, and you're not honoring Christ because this is not Him. You're honoring something else. I've done that where I've told stories about my mother and my father, and here's his testimony. I've told five or six people about these amazing testimonies, my mother and my father, and they fed, and I'm like, yes! And then I shared the story with my father, and I was getting to a point, he interrupted me, he goes, that's not our story. Yes, it is. He goes, no, it's not. That's not about us. Our story was this. And so in my own mind, I thought I was honoring my mother and my father with this testimony that I thought they did. My intentions were right, but it was not about him. So they want to take you off as spoil through means of their philosophy and empty deceit according to the instructions of men, according to the first principalities of the world.
Principles,
thank you. And not according to Christ. Because in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in Him filled fully, who is the head of all principality and authority, in whom ye have also been what?
Circumcised.
Is he talking about the circumcision of the flesh?
No.
He's talking about something else, but why is he bringing this up? A contrast, a comparison and contrast. It appears that here they're talking about circumcision again, and he's going, you guys are circumcised. In whom ye have been circumcised with a circumcision not done by hand. Think about that. Who circumcised Abraham? We don't know. I don't know. Was it his wife? I don't. But Yahweh circumcised you with the Ruach Kodesh. And in Acts 2, when they spoke in tongues, it was a sign of their circumcision. Are you circumcised? I prophesy. My sons and daughters know that I live and abide within you, and I move with you. Fear no enemy, but be filled with joy. I just gave a prophecy. That is the circumcision that He gave us. In the despoiling of the bodily flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, having been buried together with Him in your immersion, wherein also you have been raised together through your faith in the energizing of Yahweh, who raised Him from among the dead. And as for you who were dead by your offenses and uncircumcision of your, and by the uncircumcision of your flesh, have been brought you to life together with Him, having in favor forgiven. Let's see here. Yeah. So okay, I should have stopped at verse 13. The uncircumcision of the flesh. So here this is Yahweh through the Apostle Paul. It appears that in Colossians. Where is this? I guess this is Asia. He's telling you guys have been circumcised. But Yahweh circumcised you. Now we'll turn to Titus 1:10. Timothy, Titus. Before you guys get there, does anybody know where Titus lived? I didn't know either. I live in Crete. The very beginning of it, verse 5, I left thee in Crete. At least he left them in Crete. Maybe he didn't live there. Verse 10 and 11, circumcision is going to pop up again, and we're going to go back to Galatians here in a second. For there are many, what's the next two words?
Unruly men.
I'd like to find out what the words unruly men are. Is this a compliment? No.
No.
Vain talkers and what?
Deceivers.
Deceivers. Especially they of the what?
Circumcision.
Who,
Jews.
Who's he warning Titus? The Jews. Where's the persecution coming? From seminary. And here's this front. Did the adversary just go away after Christ? After the day of Pentecost? No, he shift gears. We got to do this, and it appears now what we're going to do, he killed Christ with the Jews, and now it is through the circumcision he's going to infiltrate this new thing, the body of Christ. And here it is, circumcision, and then verse 11. Would somebody read verse 11?
Whose mouth must need be stopped, men who are upsetting whole houses, teaching the things which ought not to be taught for the sake of base gain.
For why? The sake of base gain. They want to be gained. Yahweh says, if you do what I say, I won't reject you. I'll embrace you. You have fellowship with me. Even if you don't know it, he knows your heart. And if you're obeying the scriptures and you really have no idea what's going on, that requires more faith.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it? Oh, no idea what's going on. It's okay. I see your faith. Hang in there. Okay. Here this thing is. But if you come against the Trinity, what happens? You have the wrath of man. They'll come at you. You're out. And they'll even... And pastors, they know this. They want... Almost every Protestant church that I go to, you go to the beginning and here will be the songs. And the songs... Through 2 Timothy, it's all the itching ears. Jesus, it's only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus, just Jesus. There's only Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. And Jesus Christ has been exalted above the Father. Now they're saying Jesus is the Father. And then the pastors come out and they start talking about the Father. And they kind of correct it a little bit. But you're like, what are you guys doing? And it's fear. Or it's wickedness. Now we turn back to Galatians chapter 2. So people were trying. It's I had to talk to somebody. I said, I really want to talk to you about the deity of Christ. And I said, you know what? I don't talk about words that aren't in the Bible. Oh, he couldn't believe it. And I go, I don't talk about Mary, the mother of God. I don't talk about the book of Enoch. Or if you want to talk about what's in the scriptures, and you went, well, why do you have a problem talking about the Trinity? I go, the deity of Christ and the Trinity is not even in this. The scriptures specifically tell us to stay away from word babbles, endless genealogies, stories. Stay away from that stuff. Why don't we just talk about scriptures? What do you want to talk about? And they were offended. They couldn't believe it. And then they had to go, Google, Trinity's not in the Bible, except for there's one that put it in there, and it's the I think it's the Amplified Bible inserts it in the book of Revelation. They had to do it. But Galatians says they're cursed for that. Boy, you're going to meet Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, 3 through 4, if somebody would read that.
Not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised.
So it looks like he was not compelled. He was with him, okay?
But this was because of the false brethren secretly introduced, who indeed came in secretly to spy out our freedom, which we have in Christ Yahushua, that they might bring us into bondage.
So here we got circumcision again, and it's going to pop up again in verse 7. Oh, that's a little bit different. Peter's going to go to the circumcision. But up here, but Titus was not compelled to be circumcised, but what's going on? What's the context here? The false brethren secretly introduced so they can bring them into bondage. I've had that. If you don't acknowledge the Trinity, the deity of Christ, you can't come here anymore. Okay? He's in the room. And sometimes you're going to be left alone, whatnot. You're going to go, but look at the Apostle Paul and how he finished his race. I'm not teaching for numbers and how many churches. And here's the Apostle Paul. We just read here's the rise and fall of the British Empire. The sun never set on their empire. And the teacher said, it's very important. That was not their objective. their objective was just commerce and good business. And then all of a sudden, and here's the Apostle Paul. Why were there seven churches? Why did? Because Yahweh told them to do it. Oh, we're going to go on strike and you're out. Okay, see you later. You don't want it?
Wipe
the dust off, and that's between you and your Creator and your judgment day. And so now that the look out, how serious was this? Go to verse 11 and 12. Can somebody read that?
In chapter 2?
Yeah, verse 11 and 12.
But when Cephas came unto Antioch to the face, even him I resisted because he stood condemned. For before that, certain came from James with them of the nations you see to eat, whereas when they came, he used to withdraw and keep himself separate, fearing them of the circumcision.
And if you, at the beginning of this chapter, it talks about false brethren secretly introduced to do what? Bring people in bondage.
Yeah.
Okay? But then Peter, there's so much pressure that even Peter caved, but he corrected real quick. But what did he cave to? Peter probably wasn't thinking, but here's false brethren secretly introduced for the bondage. Is here, it starts at the beginning. But that's how powerful it was back then. And so what happened, I don't necessarily, we don't know exactly why the Apostle Paul, three of the seven departed. But the pressure was, it appears, the circumcision's all over the place. Fornication and stuff like that's easy. That's not, getting drunk and having sex and orgies, most Christians, they're not going to have a problem saying that's wrong. But when you start going against something that's religious and there's religious pressure, that's something different. So then you think about it today, you go, why did the Apostle Paul lose 43% of the churches? How many churches would let him teach today?
Oh, good point.
Mm-hmm. Every church epistles, greetings from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, too. There is no Holy Spirit, just two. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says Jesus has a God. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:3 and 1:17. And that's not the only time. And the Apostle Paul says Jesus has a God. People sing a song, Jesus, there's only Jesus. What about his God? Mm-hmm. They'd say, you got to go, Paul. And the Apostle Paul's going to say, the dead aren't in heaven. The dead are sleeping. Sleep. And in a place called Sheol, waiting for the resurrection. Now, we don't like that either. You got to go. And then the Apostle Paul speaks in tongues more than all of them, but in order. And he prophesies. Covet the prophesy. We don't like that either. And they're going to go, man, poor Paul. No, it's not poor Paul. Because Paul is in the company of Yahweh. And if you're obedient, you have fellowship with him. And if you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, here's Christ shows up to Paul in the prison. It's going to be okay. So circumcision, just through these church epistles. And how was circumcision being used in 6:12? Scripture says to persecute so that they could boast. We kicked them out. They're Jehovah's Witnesses. And actually, we already went there. This is kind of a summation. But in 6:12, it said they used the circumcision to persecute the church so that they could boast. If you don't confess the deity in front of everybody, you're out. And Titus says they're using the circumcision to be greedy for gain. And what makes me wonder, this gets into speculation, is what happened to the Sabbath? It could have been that the Sabbath was so polluted by the time Christ came, you always like, scrap it. Just like Jerusalem. You guys ruined something that started off really good. The Sabbath used to be really important. Not after what you guys did to it. The Jews. And it could have been circumcision, the same thing. It's being used against the body. I just get rid of it. Now, that's not what it says. But tracking the adversary, and it appears that the Sabbath, circumcision, and Trinity. We've got three prints of different eras. Encourage one another. So,
yeah, we need to be sharp.
Yeah, they rejected you. Good. You stood up on something. They rejected the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
Well, they kicked me out of my church. They rejected Paul.
Yeah. And they killed Yahushua.
They killed, yeah, Stephen was stoned. Okay, all right. But Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that you live inside of us, and we thank you for these words. No, my sons and daughters, that I understand the fear that you have and the pressures that come against you, and I understand all of them. But unlike you, I can see what's on the other side of the pressure, and most of the pressure that's come against you is fake. It's coming from people who don't even care about you. What do you care about what people think? Do you really care what your enemies think about you? They smile to your face, but stab you in the back? Who cares what they think? Focus on what I think and what my son thinks, and this will give you the strength to step over this persecution, that it will soon go away.
Amen.
Yahweh bless you. I'll be doing tonight's teaching in Yahweh's Word. And through his perfect son, Yehoshua HaMashiach, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, mediating for us. And he's not stopped working to bring us to the Father since he's been resurrected. Thank you, Yehoshua HaMashiach, for all the work. How many days off does he get? I don't know. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that as we come together, we can honor you by manifesting your Ruach HaKodesh, by speaking in tongues and interpreting. And let us never take that for granted, but that we could put you on speaker and ask you what you would like to say before we get started. The most important thing about any teaching or sharing is if your will is being done. So we thank you for your words. And if somebody would like to speak in tongues, interpret, or prophesy, please do.
When you look up in the sky and you see clear, clear blue, and you see puffy little white clouds, and it makes you so happy. This is how I feel when I look down and I look upon you and I see smiles on your faces, gratitude in your heart, singing praises through your mouth. I am so blessed. I am proud of each one of you, and I have called you to this time and place. Get rid of any worry darkness that's in you. Get rid of it and move forward and expect great things.
The prophecy, speak my words, let it resound from your lips that I am your healer. I am Yahweh Elohim of hosts, who can set the captives free and will set the captives free if they come down on bended knee towards me. So speak those words and let the people know that I live within you and abide within you and have set you free.
Know that as you walk out in faith, I fill the voids. It is my job to fill the voids, to give the answers, to give thoughts, to give you manifestations of who I am. And it is your job to produce the faith and do it with joy. And as you do so, I'll give you the desires of your heart. But I need you to fulfill your calling in Christ one day at a time. There's so much things that have got to be done to come together before my son returns. And you'll be so grateful, just like a father encouraging their child to study for that final examination. That scholarship's going to be so worth it. You're going to be so thankful. Study to show yourself approved and fulfill the calling that I've given to you, so that when you meet my son, you won't be suffering loss. Tonight's teaching is tracking the adversary, kind of seeing footprints and seeing some things that I'd never seen before. And if anything, one of the objectives with this sharing is to encourage people to read through the church epistles and look at this word that I've never seen before. Another thing about with me, I've been reading about 10 chapters a day, and at first that was laborious, but man, it gives you, it's so advantageous, because now all of a sudden you get two or three books of the church epistles. And I just read this. Or you could be in Luke, and I just read this in two of the gospels, and all of a sudden you get a reference point. And so there's it's life transforming. But with this, Dad did a teaching not too long ago, and it was about our adversary. The adversary who took Yahweh's name and erased his creator's name, and then he puts up his own three gods now. Now you got to bow down to this, because you're not bowing down to Yahweh with these three gods. You're bowing down to his creation. And if you bow down to his creation, who are you bowing down to? It's like Al Gore telling us what we have to do to stop global warming. What you're doing is you're bowing down to Al Gore, because he's the prophet. and this is what it is. And so, the adversary is more crafty than any beast, tracking him. The Apostle Paul lost 43% of the churches he set up. Departed. Three out of seven. All the churches in Asia. You got, here's Asia, Colossians, Galatians, and Ephesians. All of them departed. They rejected Paul. So who do they reject?
Yahweh.
They rejected Yahweh, and they rejected Christ because Christ was running things. So who did they really reject? They rejected Christ. Who rejected Christ? The church that says that they were glorifying him. Now, it doesn't mean that they became antichrist, but they threw him out. But 43% of the church, and here's the Apostle Paul, he finishes the race well. That when you're pressed, what comes out? If you squeeze an orange, I want to do a teaching on it. If you squeeze an orange, what comes out?
Juice.
When you squeeze a Christian, what comes out? It's up to us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, the flesh comes out. Drop something on your foot. You might have a word in your repertoire you didn't even know you had. And go, oh. But when we're crushed, what happens? And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, 43% of the church have rejected me, but I've run my race. And I have run my race. He's delivered me from the lion. I never thought that as literal until my father brought that up. And he's going to preserve me. And the end of 2 Timothy says, how did the Apostle Paul die? Happily ever after. It says he's going to be delivered from everything. He's the shepherd's fold. And here this thing is. That's not what man teaches today. But he was pressed. But what happened to Paul? Before I get to that, looking at the adversary, who started the Shabbat, the Sabbath?
Yahweh
did. And he told Moses, remember the Shabbat. So it was before Moshe, Moses, remember the Sabbath. On the 6th day he rested. Okay, who created the Sabbath? Yahweh Elohim. For what purpose was it? It was to glorify him. How serious was the Sabbath? Moses had a guy stoned once. Okay, so it was serious. But by the time Christ came along, who was the Sabbath serving?
Man.
They looked at him intently to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. And they looked at him. Let's see if he's going to do this. And he looks and he says, is it allowable to do good or evil? They didn't say anything and he heals a person. I always thought that was the conclusion. No, the conclusion is right after that they go, we got him. We got him. He healed them, even though they're going to say we got him. The religious people were using the Sabbath to do what? To persecute Yahweh. Because Jesus Christ was Yahweh. Not literally. It was his son. Jesus Christ said, you want to see the Father? You see me? I'm the exact replication of my Father. You see what I do? I do nothing. I can do nothing without my Father. Here this is. And what were they using the Sabbath to do? To persecute Christ, which was to persecute Yahweh. And who was doing all this? The adversary. And you're looking, going to go, man, by the time Christ was around, what was the key? The Shabbat. Holy moly. That's how you'd expect a man, a capitalist or a drunkard And when we read through the church epistles, I guess to the point, what we're going to look at is the adversary used the Sabbath to persecute Christ, and it appears that the adversary used circumcision to persecute Paul. So we're just going to take a look at the circumcision through these church epistles. You start seeing some things, you're going to go, I never saw the power of the weight and the fear circumcision had until recently. And that the adversary used the Shabbat Sabbath to persecute Christ. Apostle Paul comes along, now he's going to use circumcision. Now today he uses the Trinity. If you don't bow down to this, you're out. And people will cower because they don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be thrown out. And it's so powerful, we're going to look there, that even Peter bowed down. And that's one thing. He didn't say he did it over and over again. And he repented. But even Peter, who cut off Malchus's ear, what kind of power was circumcision? And so we're just going to kind of take a look at this and go, wow, you start looking, and what happens if you don't get circumcised, and what was the threat being, and I'm going to suggest that maybe how the adversary took over 43% of the church was started through possibly the circumcision. Now, obviously, there's fornication, you get the lust of the flesh, those are obvious things. But how do you get regular people, and here it is, we'll turn to Acts chapter 16, 2. Verse 2 and 3. Now, this first one is not apples to apples. Okay, so I'm going to put a disclaimer there. But it is going to, this first scripture is going to show power of the pressure for circumcision. Now, Yahweh started circumcision, and he told Moses that, or actually told Abraham, if you don't get circumcised, you don't cut it off, you're cut out. You're out. You're cut off. So there it was. But I love how Christ says, I am Lord of the Sabbath, the Son of Man. And I'm going to go, where does it say he got that authority? I wonder if on his 40-day wilderness that Christ says, here's a couple things I'm going to let you do. I'm going to let you not violate. You're going to go over the Sabbath. I'm giving you jurisdiction. Yes. And there's a couple other things. They go, by what authority could you do this? And it doesn't say Christ got this, but I wonder on the 40 days, Yahweh goes, here's a badge. Over the Sabbath, you can do this. Here's another badge. Because you look what Christ is doing on the Sabbath. You can't do that. You can't. You break it. But it appears Christ did. Because why? I'm going to suggest because the Sabbath was being used to persecute Yahweh at the time. But if somebody read Acts chapter 16, verse 2 and 3. And now this is not apples to apples. I'm not comparing this to the persecution that's going to happen later. But it does show pressure.
16 what?
Who was well attested by the brethren in Lystra and Iconium, the same would Paul have gone forth with him and took and circumcised him on account of the Jews who were in those places. For they one all knew that his father was a Greek.
On account of who? The Jews.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to compare this to the church epistles because the book of Acts is a transition period. There's a lot of confusion. Moses, Exodus was a transition period too because Moses comes back with all kinds of new rules. What are you talking about? Pork, catfish? What are you talking about? Passover? And so there's a transition. So there could have been a time when some of the Hebrews are going, you're going to have to verify some of this. So the book of Acts, they're learning circumcision. Is there circumcision? There's not. But it does say in the scripture, on account of who? The Jews. He circumcised them because of the Jews. Now I'll turn to Colossians chapter 2.
Now it's Timothy.
Yes.
Okay, we can read that.
Thank you. But it is interesting, and I'm not going to compare this to the pressure in Timothy, but you're looking at that pressure that it appears it was allowable, that Yahweh allowed it to say, okay, under this circumstance, you can go ahead and do that. But here's Timothy, who later on, the Apostle Paul goes, don't be a coward, man. Don't be a coward. Don't cave. Chapter 2, let me get there. We're reading 8 through 13. I'll read this so I'll make sure I get all this. And if you look at the circumcision here, just put the word Trinity. Mm-hmm. If you don't do this, if you say anything about this word, don't talk about the Trinity. Or they'll say today, the deity of Christ. We should say, what scriptures are you talking about? You can't compare Trinity to circumcision because Trinity is not in the Bible. True. But right now, it is being used by the adversary as such a thing. You better not say, we will come against you, we will shut you down, and we will make an example out of you. We'll turn you into a Jehovah Witness. You lose your church, you get all the rest of this. And it makes me also think when he refers to the circumcision, when he refers to the circumcision, put the seminary. The seminary. Because who's persecuting the Apostle Paul? The seminary. Mm-hmm. We're going to go chapter 8. Or chapter 2, verse 8. Be taking heed, lest there shall be anyone leading you off as spoil through means of their philosophy. They're three in one, but they're not three gods. They're one God, but they're in three persons. They're perfect. And Jesus, and today, all there is Jesus. Jesus, you're all there is. All I need is Jesus, and Jesus is the Father. You go, how can the Son be the Father? The Catholics won't say that now. The Protestants, it's just Jesus is now this new Jesus, warned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, a new Jesus, a new Holy Spirit, has been exalted above the Father. And you're not honoring Christ because this is not Him. You're honoring something else. I've done that where I've told stories about my mother and my father, and here's his testimony. I've told 5 or 6 people about this amazing testimonies, my mother and my father, and they fed, and I'm like, yes. And then I shared the story with my father, and I was getting to a point. He interrupted me. He goes, that's not our story. Yes, it is. He goes, no, it's not. That's not about us. Our story was this. And so in my own mind, I thought I was honoring my mother and my father with this testimony that I thought they did. My intentions were right, but it was not about him. So they want to take you off as spoil through means of their philosophy and empty deceit, according to the instructions of men, according to the first principalities of the world.
Principles,
thank you. And not according to Christ. Because in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him filled fully, who is the head of all principality and authority, in whom ye have also been what?
Circumcised.
Is he talking about the circumcision of the flesh?
No.
No. He's talking about something else, but why is he bringing this up? A contrast, a comparison and contrast. It appears that here they're talking about circumcision again, and he's going, you guys are circumcised. In whom ye have been circumcised with a circumcision not done by hand. Think about that. Who circumcised Abraham? We don't know. I don't know. Was it his wife? I don't. But Yahweh circumcised you with the Ruach Kodesh. And in Acts 2, when they spoke in tongues, it was a sign of their circumcision. Are you circumcised? I prophesy. My sons and daughters know that I live and abide within you, and I move with you. Fear no enemy, but be filled with joy. I just gave a prophecy. That is the circumcision that he gave us. In the despoiling of the bodily flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, having been buried together with him in your immersion, wherein also you have been raised together through your faith in the energizing of Yahweh, who raised him from among the dead. And as for you who were dead by your offenses and uncircumcision of your, and by the uncircumcision of your flesh, have been brought you to life together with him, having in favor forgiven. Let's see here. Yeah. I should have stopped at verse 13. The uncircumcision of the flesh. So here this is Yahweh through the Apostle Paul. It appears that in Colossians, where is this? I guess this is Asia. He's telling you guys have been circumcised. But Yahweh circumcised you. Now we'll turn to Titus 1:10. Timothy, Titus. Before you guys get there, does anybody know where Titus lived? I didn't know either. I live in Crete. It's the very beginning of it, verse 5. I left thee in Crete. At least he left them in Crete. Maybe he didn't live there. Verse 10 and 11. Circumcision is going to pop up again. And we're going to go back to Galatians here in a second. For there are many. What's the next 2 words?
Unruly men.
I'd like to find out what the words unruly men are. Is this a compliment? No.
No.
Vain talkers and what?
Deceivers.
Deceivers. Especially they of the what?
Circumcision.
Who,
Jews.
Who's he warning Titus? The Jews. Where's the persecution coming? From seminary. And here's this front. Did the adversary just go away after Christ? After the day of Pentecost? No, he shift gears. We got to do this, and it appears now what we're going to do, he killed Christ with the Jews, and now it is through the circumcision he's going to infiltrate this new thing, the body of Christ. And here it is, circumcision, and then verse 11. Would somebody read verse 11?
Whose mouth must need be stopped, men who are upsetting whole houses, teaching the things which ought not to be taught for the sake of base gain.
For why? The sake of base gain. They want to be gained. Yahweh says, if you do what I say, I won't reject you. I'll embrace you. You have fellowship with me. Even if you don't know it, he knows your heart. And if you're obeying the scriptures and you really have no idea what's going on, that requires more faith.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it? Oh, no idea what's going on. It's okay. I see your faith. Hang in there. Okay. Here this thing is. But if you come against the Trinity, what happens? You have the wrath of man. They'll come at you. You're out. And they'll even... And pastors, they know this. They won't... Almost every Protestant church that I go to, you go to the beginning, and here will be the songs. And the songs, through 2 Timothy, it's all the itching ears. Jesus, it's only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus, just Jesus. There's only Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. Jesus Christ has been exalted above the Father. Now they're saying Jesus is the Father. And then the pastors come out and they start talking about the Father. And they kind of correct it a little bit. But you're like, what are you guys doing? And it's fear. Or it's wickedness. Now we turn back to Galatians chapter 2. So people were trying, I had to talk to somebody. I said, I really want to talk to you about the deity of Christ. And I said, you know what? I don't talk about words that aren't in the Bible. Oh, he couldn't believe it. And I go, I don't talk about Mary, the mother of God. I don't talk about the book of Enoch. Or if you want to talk about what's in the scriptures, and you went, well, why do you have a problem talking about the Trinity? I go, the deity of Christ and the Trinity is not even in this. The scriptures specifically tell us to stay away from word babbles, endless genealogies, stories. Stay away from that stuff. Why don't we just talk about scriptures? What do you want to talk about? And they were offended. They couldn't believe it. And then they had to go, Google, Trinity's not in the Bible, except for there's one that put it in there, and it's the, I think it's the Amplified Bible, inserts it in the book of Revelation. They had to do it. But Galatians says they're cursed for that. Boy, you're going to meet Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, 3 through 4, if somebody would read that.
Not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised.
So he was not compelled. He was with him, okay?
But this was because of the false brethren secretly introduced, who indeed came in secretly to spy out our freedom, which we have in Christ Yahushua, that they might bring us into bondage.
So here we got circumcision again, and it's going to pop up again in verse 7. Oh, that's a little bit different. Peter's going to go to the circumcision. But up here, but Titus was not compelled to be circumcised, but what's going on? What's the context here? The false brethren secretly introduced so they can bring them into bondage. If you don't acknowledge the Trinity, the deity of Christ, you can't come here anymore. Okay? He's in the room. And sometimes you're going to be left alone, whatnot, and you're going to go, but look at the Apostle Paul and how he finished his race. I'm not teaching for numbers and how many churches. And here's the Apostle Paul. We just read here's the rise and fall of the British Empire. The sun never set on their empire. And the teacher said, it's very important. That was not their objective. Their objective was just commerce and good business. And then all of a sudden, and here's the Apostle Paul. Why were there seven churches? Why? Because Yahweh told them to do it. Oh, we're going to go on strike and you're out. Okay, see you later. You don't want it?
Wipe
the dust off, and that's between you and your Creator and your judgment day. And so now the look out, how serious was this? Go to verse 11 and 12. Can somebody read that?
In chapter 2?
Yeah, verse 11 and 12.
But when Cephas came unto Antioch, to the face even him I resisted, because he stood condemned. For before that, certain came from James, with them of the nations you see to eat, whereas when they came, he used to withdraw and keep himself separate, fearing them of the circumcision.
And at the beginning of this chapter, it talks about false brethren secretly introduced to do what? Bring people in bondage.
Yeah.
Okay? Then Peter, there's so much pressure that even Peter caved, but he corrected real quick. But what did he cave to? Peter, probably wasn't thinking, but here's false brethren secretly introduced for bondage. Is here it starts at the beginning. But that's how powerful it was back then. And so what happened, I don't necessarily, we don't know exactly why the Apostle Paul, three of the seven departed. But the pressure was, it appears, the circumcision's all over the place. Fornication, stuff like that's easy. That's not, getting drunk and having sex and orgies, most Christians, they're not going to have a problem saying that's wrong. But when you start going against something that's religious and there's religious pressure, that's something different. So then you think about it today, you go, why did the Apostle Paul lose 43% of the churches? How many churches would let him teach today?
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Every church epistle's greetings from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, too. There is no Holy Spirit, just two. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says Jesus has a God. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:3 and 1:17. And that's not the only time. And the Apostle Paul says Jesus has a God. And people sing a song, Jesus, there's only Jesus. What about his God? Mm-hmm. They'd say, you got to go, Paul. And the Apostle Paul's going to say, the dead aren't in heaven. The dead are sleeping. Sleep, sleep, sleep. And in a place called Sheol, waiting for the resurrection. No, we don't like that either. You got to go. And then the Apostle Paul speaks in tongues more than all of them, but in order. And he prophesies. Covet the prophesy. We don't like that either. And they're going to go, man, poor Paul. No, it's not poor Paul. Because Paul was in the company of Yahweh. And if you're obedient, you have fellowship with him. And if you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, here's Christ shows up to Paul in the prison. It's going to be okay. So circumcision, just through these church epistles, and how was circumcision being used in 6:12? Scripture says to persecute so that they could boast. We kicked them out. They're Jehovah Witnesses, and actually we already went there. This is kind of a summation, but in 6:12 it said they used the circumcision to persecute the church so that they could boast. If you don't confess the deity in front of everybody, you're out. And Titus says they're using the circumcision to be greedy for gain. And what makes me wonder, this gets into speculation, is what happened to the Sabbath? It could have been that the Sabbath was so polluted by the time Christ came, you always like scrap it. Just like Jerusalem. You guys ruined something that started off really good. Okay, the Sabbath used to be really important. Not after what you guys did to it. The Jews. And it could have been circumcision, the same thing. It's being used against the body. I just get rid of it. Now, that's not what it says. But tracking the adversary, and it appears that the Sabbath, circumcision, and Trinity. We've got three prints of different eras. And so encourage one another. So...
Yeah, they need to be sharp.
Yeah, they rejected you. Good. You stood up on something. They rejected the Apostle Paul. Yeah. Well, they kicked me out of my church. They rejected Paul.
They killed Yahushua.
They killed, Stephen was stoned. Okay, all right. But Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that you live inside of us, and we thank you for these words. Now, my sons and daughters, that I understand the fear that you have and the pressures that come against you, and I understand all of them. But unlike you, I can see what's on the other side of the pressure, and most of the pressure that's come against you is fake. It's coming from people who don't even care about you. What do you care about what people think? Do you really care what your enemies think about you? They smile to your face, but stab you in the back? Who cares what they think? Focus on what I think and what my son thinks, and this will give you the strength to step over this persecution that it will soon go away.